hate when people stand up and have signs at me. Some are not too kind. Amen. Just thank you, brother. Amen. I appreciate that. I'm in 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm going to preach on missing the mark. If you have your Bible, let's stand to our feet now out of respect for God's word. I'm just going to read one verse, then I want to talk about Christian dynamics today. Christian dynamics. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I want to emphasize that word now, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now there's the whole ball of wax, isn't it? There's the difference. Now that if you stop and think about it, when you talk to somebody out there, and some of you have been out there witness now, and they look at you, give you that blank look, it's because they don't understand. To the world, the preaching of the cross is just foolishness. Because it is spiritually discerned. The lost cannot know it. And I want to speak just for a second on this idea of God's way and people missing the mark. The reason people miss the mark is they cannot understand God's way. And it doesn't break upon their mind that that would work. That there's got to be an answer physically that they can do or something that they allow themselves to do that would bring about something that only God can do. And so they miss the mark. And that's the tragedy of this life. And there'll be many a person who will miss eternity in heaven because of this idea of not understanding it, not wanting to understand. Let's pray. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us now. Holy Spirit of God, I'm in the midst of the saints now. Lord, this is your time to feed the sheep. Lord, your time to speak to hearts. And I ask you now, Father, that you might use this vessel. The Holy Spirit of God, turn us toward heaven. Help us now, Father, as we look into the Word, your Word, Father, to understand it. Quicken our mind, our heart. Bless us together as your saints now. And Father, I pray if there's one here that's never been saved, living the life but never trusted Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray they'd not walk from this building, not leave this area until they know for sure that their anchor is Christ. Bless us together now, please, Father. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen and amen. Have a seat. 1 Corinthians 2:5 gives us the verse that I believe would answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. In chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, everything that God wants to do, God's going to get the glory for it. We can't take glory for salvation. We can't take glory for our Christian lives. We can't take glory for what God has done for us. It would be wrong for us to say we did all this, and it would be falsehood, amen. It is God that worketh in us to do His pleasure. It is God that allows us the things that we have, and we need to return glory for that. We have this precious gift, the Bible says, Colossians, in this vessel of clay. It is God's gift to us. I want to spend time on this idea of Christian dynamics. In Mark chapter 4, 11, if you'll turn over there, I want to spend time. I've got to get all the way through this, and I don't know how to get all the way through it, but I'm going to try my very best to try to explain it because there's people listening to me that need to understand it. In Mark 4, 11, there's a verse here that everybody ought to understand. The Bible says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, that's what the framework is, that he began to teach the disciples in parables, and the idea that many people out there wouldn't understand, and they don't understand. And he said, it's given to you to know these things, but to them it's not given. In other words, the saints of God have been given certain things to allow them in their life to be different than other people, to be overcomers, to allow the plan of God to be exercised in their life. But to those that are lost out there, it was just foolishness. It's just something that was beating the air, you know. And there's certain things that I want to help and I want to demonstrate. I don't know whether I can or not. Maybe I can get, I don't know whether these people can see it or not, but I'm going to demonstrate it anyway, amen. Preacher, just stand up for just a second here and help me on this. You know what I'm going to demonstrate here, but I want you to understand what's going to go on. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this songbook and I'm going to hold it above your hands and I want you to catch it on the way down. Okay? Now, what principle in physics does that demonstrate? Gravity. Ah, amen. We have physical, you can have a seat, brother. We have physical things that God has put into this realm. And you better not betray them. I'm just giving you a warning, amen. Don't walk on a 30-story building and try to save people. You're going to fly, amen. When the first step you take off that building, gravity will what? It'll pull you down. Now, wait a minute now. There are other things that are lift and drag. I don't know whether you know anything about certain dynamics you have to have in order to cover an airplane to overcome drag. It has to have a certain amount of lift under the wing. There are dynamics that are around. There are things that God has put in place that you cannot unless you got another force to overcome them. I dropped that songbook and it would have hit the floor. That's the only thing that would have stopped, but this young man put a force in there that overcame gravity and it stopped that book. Are you with me? The world doesn't understand Christianity because it doesn't understand God.
That's right.
Doesn't understand, and it's a type of thing where we have to understand the things of God. There's gravity, centrifugal force, lift, drag. To overcome the natural laws, there must be a force which intervenes and causes an opposite reaction to overcome it. Now, wait a minute. Man believes in salvation, he can overcome it by himself. He believes that church attendance, giving money, helping the poor, getting baptized, keeping the Ten Commandments, there are all kinds of things that he allows himself to believe will overcome this natural laws. Now I'm going to talk to you about a little about this idea of God placing laws in it. I want you to turn over to 1 John 2:16, and I'm going to give you some natural laws that God has put in place over here. In 1 John 2, if I can get over there, and 2:14, we're going to read a verse here together. I'm sorry, 1:14. Have I got that right? 2:16, I'm sorry. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Now, there's three things he talks about in that, this idea. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, if you get back to Genesis 3, you'll find all three in the garden. She saw the fruit that it was good to eat, you know. And he doubted, you know, God's word. But all three were in place there. Now, can I say this to you? All three are in place for every person in this building. All three, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every person in this world, without exception, is affected by those three things. Those are the laws of this idea, Christian dynamics. All three affect every person. All three will take a person to hell. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh are all involved in sin. And when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. And have death hell. This idea of understanding Christian dynamics or the dynamics that God has placed in this world, All three, nobody can overcome them in a natural way. They're all three involved. You say, well, but what you really, I'm telling you right now, have you ever seen such an increase in pornography in your life? Am I talking about the lust of the eye right now? Am I talking about things that affect? We have, you can't watch TV now. You can't, as a Christian, it is very difficult to find any channel and any program that is not involved in those kind of lusts. Amen. Those things are always about. Now, what? Man will try to do his best to overcome them, but cannot overcome them until there is a force that stops it. Now, I want to talk about this, the idea of salvation. The force is this, that God. Man believes he'll try to do everything he can by himself. And to him, the preaching of the gospel or the cross is foolishness. Because he cannot, they are spiritually discerned. There is spiritual involvement in that idea. The only reason you got saved is because you took a leap of faith. Now, after you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God began to explain to you what happened, amen. You didn't know all that before you got saved, nor did it affect your heart before you got saved. But after you got saved, you became very aware of what God had done in your life. Oh, listen, God had to do that. The Bible talks about this idea in 7:13, Matthew 7:13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, multitudes will be on their way to hell. I'm not talking about just bad people. I'm talking about good people. In Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man was on his way to hell. It was just like gravity. Everybody headed the same direction. But there had to be a force which intervened. The Bible says in Galatians 4, now listen to this verse. In Galatians 4:4, and I want this verse to really ring in your mind. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Under the law means He kept all the law. The Bible says, literally, He was sent wearing the flesh, took upon Him the likeness of man, literally encased Himself in what we know as flesh, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's that intervening force. Man cannot do it by himself. There had to be a force which intervened and stepped between him and hell and kept him out of hell. And only those that applied that force will be kept out of a place called hell.
Amen. That's right.
God sent forth His Son in the appointed time. Christian dynamics. Man cannot do it by himself. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not of man. God, knowing that man was on his way there, sent His Son, that propitiation for our sins, that force which caught us when we were speeding, not just relaxing, we were speeding our way towards the devil's hell. And God caught us with His grace, amen, and kept us from a devil's hell. Oh, I tell you, make you want to shout, amen. God is so good to us. We cannot, we could not do it. You could work your way until you're old and gray like me and never begin to pay the debt that God, you owed God, amen.
That's right. Amen.
God intervened where His grace and His mercy was just exceeding towards us. God's compassion on His creation sent His Son to die in our place and provide that salvation. The natural man doesn't understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. No man out here understands this idea of salvation. It's only when the Holy Spirit of God deals with the heart, they come along, somebody gives them a piece of a Bible, someone speaks to them kindly out of their heart about Jesus, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God speaks to their heart, and at that moment they're allowed to have that force intercede in their life and catch them from a devil's hell right then. The natural man doesn't receive. He cannot understand. They're spiritually discerned. But once we get saved, once that glorious transformation happens in our life, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God is sent. Ah, amen. He's the one that does the saving, amen. He's the one that does the transforming. He enters our life, seals us unto the day of redemption. Oh, amen. I am sealed, but I might not look it. I might not look even sane, but I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, amen. There's nothing you can do, nothing I can do to keep you from going to heaven right now. Nothing man can do right now.
Right.
I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. Well, there's something else that happens. Something that happens in a Christian's life. They're allowed access to the Word of God. Before, it's just a book. It was just so many words on a page. But now, oh my soul, it has all the answers, amen. You read that book and all of a sudden it applies to everything. And I mean, everybody. All of a sudden, you're quickening your mind. All of a sudden, you've got answers in your life. But to the natural man, it doesn't make sense. Just like salvation, it doesn't make sense. I want to talk about not only salvation, but I want to talk about the way of success. The way of success to a man down here is the accumulation of things. That's the way of his happiness. He who dies with the most toys in the garage wins, amen. That's his philosophy. The idea of having so many things, I watched yesterday, I was somewhere, Missouri or something, I think I was in Missouri, and I had to get some diesel for the truck. And all of a sudden there's this loud noise. My truck makes a little bit of noise, but these guys pulled it up, about six pickups pulled in. And they were jacked up and jacked out and jacked. Chromed out. They had things underneath it, had more chrome on. I got my whole truck, amen. And just, I mean, pipes on the big of that thing, man. And they'd use that thing, and it sounded like the whole building was coming around. And there are six of them. I think they're on the way to some kind of show, amen. But they had these toys, and they pulled in there, six of them. I mean, it caused such a racket. I mean, you wouldn't believe the racket going on. And they were all trying to race it and be louder than one another, amen. And I thought in my mind, this scripture, their way of success. They love that little toys, amen. They got to have them little toys, and that's their success. Their whole life is wrapped up in a truck. Now, I know some country boys like that, amen. Their whole life is wrapped up in their 6.6 or their Hemi or whatever, and they've got this port, and it's got chrome on this side, and it's got chrome on that side, and blue on this side, and they got the headers dialed in there, and then the whole life is wrapped up in this Ram, which is a truck, amen. Some of you smiling, I'm getting at you, amen. Say amen. Now, wait a minute. The accumulation of things is the way of happiness in their thought. Get all you can, and those things will bring you happiness. The lust of the eye, let me repeat again, the lust of the eye, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. Now, that's what we're dealing with now. And I'm dealing with this idea of success. Now, the spiritual man has to step back for a second and think about what he's doing. Because God talks about different ways. And this is the key, dynamics. Christian dynamics. The way of the world is this way. And God turns around and says, I want to speak to you about a different way. And all of a sudden, if you're not understanding the things that are spiritual, if you're not trying to understand the Word of God, and if you're not in it and reading on this idea of death, if you're not, I don't want to use in tune, but if you're not on God's wavelength, you might miss what God has for you. I'm serious now. I'm just as serious as a heart attack right now. You're going to have to understand that God's ways are not man's ways. But I want to tell you this, God's ways always work. Amen. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't seem right. And the world, it isn't right. But I'm telling you, God's ways always work. Amen. God says, now, to be successful, turn me to Mark 8:35. Now, I'm going to give it to you now. You're going to have to... And some of you, your eyebrows are going to crinkle up and you're going to look at me like, preacher, you got to be joking me. No, I'm not. And I'm talking about spiritual things now. If you're saved in here, I want to give you the keys to what God has for your life. Because a lot of people will spend all their life with trinkets and toys. And when it comes time where death starts rattling, they're empty. Their life becomes an empty thing about them. It becomes so much things that rust. And are, just like if you go, I was on the way down here the other day, looked out on the side, and this guy had a nice house and all that. You know what he had in the front by his driveway? He had two old rusted pickups stuck in the dirt down there. I'm thought, why would you build $160,000 house and have two dead pickups sticking in your driveway. I'm just serious now. Some people they take their brains out and play with it or something. Amen. Yeah. The way of success. Now, are you there? Mark 8:35. Look at this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know what the world's philosophy is? Man, you got to get out and live. You got to party. That's the world's philosophy. You got to buy as much as you can. Get the newest drinking doodads on the market. That'll bring you happiness. Now, God says, now, that's not the way that I'm going to design it. You're my child, and this is my world, and I'm going to tell you how to live and become fruitful. Now, turn me to Psalm 1. Turn your Bible. Now, this might not be a kind of a preaching hour, but I want you to learn what I'm going to teach you now. I'm going to hammer it in your head. Look at that first verse, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Now, think what God is saying here. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Isn't that right? Nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? How often? In that book will unleash to you the keys of living. Amen. And in that, now, I'm not against making a lot of money. I'm not against that. I hope every Christian does. But if you're putting your life in dollars and cents, then you've missed the whole idea. Because I know people who are poor who are fruitful Christians and love God and have God's power on them and walk with God. They might not have the newest washing machine and the best of everything or the best house, but their kids turn out right and they love God. You hear what I'm saying now. Blessed is the man. God has a way, and it's not the way of the world. It's not the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. God says, now, this is the way the world does it. Now, this is the way I want you to do it. You'll become successful when you lose your life. Preacher, I just wrecked your pulpit here. I'm sorry. You'll be successful when you learn to give your life away. Preacher, what do you mean? Miss Jerry and I don't have a whole lot. Preacher said, you sold your house. I said, yeah, we did. To go serve the Lord, amen. Because God wants us back overseas. We did. We don't have a house. We're living out of suitcases right now. You know how old I am? 75. Miss Jerry is 74. We're living out of suitcases. But we wouldn't trade our life for yours in a heartbeat, buddy. Every day we have people write to us and thank us. You hear what I'm saying? Every day people write, are in communication, thanking for our ministry, what we've done overseas. God has blessed us. I could leave right here without a dime in my pocket. I could fly to England and back. People all along the way would provide my needs all the way there, keep me there and return. Because of we've served God, God has blessed us. Amen. The fruit, giving your life away. Learn to give, not necessarily monetarily, but you're going to have to give your heart and your life to help other people. You're going to have to extend yourself out. Now, that's not what the world says. It's not the way their way. Their way is keep as much as you can and not let people bother you and get rid of people that bother you. I won't tell you, hey! But God says, if you want a rich life, if you want to gain your life and have something worth living for, give your life away. Learn to give it. Learn to help other people. Learn to pray for other people. Learn to be a witness, be a testimony. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Success doesn't come with dollar bills, buddy. I know America is built on greed. I know that. I know that this is a free economy, and I'm not against that. But it has suckered so many Christians in to make their lives count for just a dollar bill that they've lost everything that God would have for their life. And when it comes down to dying, there's nothing but tears in their eyes of regret, for their life has counted for nothing. And then they'll face the bema seat on the other side. Everything they've done burned. I talked about this idea of man has this philosophy. But Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. When we sing together and we enjoy the saints of God, we that are the saved, the Holy Spirit of God works in our life. The Holy Spirit takes those words that the saints of old wrote down, and all of a sudden it reverberates in our life. It reverberates. It speaks to us of our heart and our life and what we're going through and the blessings that God has given to us. and we glorify God in our midst, and we join together as the saints of God, and we lift our voices to heaven, and we express through other people's writings the desires of our heart to tell Him how much we love Him and what He's made for us. Those things become, now wait a minute, those things become a daily walk with you when you read your Bible daily. Hear what I'm saying? The Bible says He meditates day and night. Miss Jerry and I, every day we get up, we read our Bible, we pray. Every day. Every night we do the same. Every night. We find ourselves, oh, he said, but she don't face any hardships. We face all kinds of hardships, amen. All kinds of obstacles. But when we read our Bible day and night, it finds a way into our life and strengthens us for that day and that trial. And we find ourselves, just like yesterday, in the midst of all kinds of nonsense. What tire company puts tires on your truck and doesn't know how to balance them? What kind of nonsense is that? Amen. And I'm in my mind, I'm puzzled. Why are you in business? I mean, you know what I mean? And yet, God had a plan. And in our patience of knowing that God has a plan, because we've read the book, we know the writer of the book, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, so what we don't do is we don't run up there and start slapping people. Amen. Hopefully. Amen. We don't lose it all right there in front of everybody. We just allow God to have His plan. Why? Because we get in the book day and night, and we meditate, and we walk with God. Now, that's success, amen? It doesn't matter how much money you got. If you can't walk with God, you're going to lose it. You understand? You're going to lose your temper. You're going to lose your testimony. You're going to lose that. You need to walk with God. Success is not in dollar bills. It is this idea of understanding the book that God has given to us and the Holy Spirit that teaches us the book that allows us to understand that there's Christian dynamics that are not the dynamics of the world. God has a way that does not make sense to the world, but it works in the Christian's life. It works. And so we give our life away. We allow God to have His will in our life. The world says, you're 70-some years old and you're going to England? I've had people say that, amen. Yes, I'm going to England. I was sick, I had cancer, but I'm still going to England. And God gave us the greatest ministry we'd had. We had more people love us and a better group of Christians that loved us and took care of us. Even when I came back here, they followed me to where Dallas. They drove all the way over from North Carolina because we told we were going to redo our storage. The family came all the way over to help us in storage. Wouldn't allow us to do it. Miss Jerry had said, the man and the woman carried all of our stuff out of one storage and put another stack up. Why? Because we had given our life away. And they loved us. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, it works, buddy. It works, and if you'll try it, you'll find God will have a great thing for your life. If you'll learn to give your life away, if you'll do it God's way instead of the world's way, if you just trust God. Trust Him. You did it for salvation. You can do it the way of success. I can go on. Huh? Bob talks about, you know what Jesus dealt with His disciples? Talked about who wanted to be greatest. You know what He said to them? This is what He said to them. I'll tell you who's going to be greatest. The chiefest among you will be your servant. He took him that demonstration right then, took his robe off, laid his girded his eyes aside, and got down and started washing their feet. Peter popped off and said, you're not going to wash my feet. And just what he said, if I not wash your feet, I'll have nothing to do with you. And Peter said, no, wash me all over then. And then Jesus said, you don't need to be washed over. You've already saved. What you need is to wash your feet. This idea of dirtiness of the day. A servant. If you'll learn that the way up in God's plan is down,
amen,
you'll succeed. It doesn't make sense. I'm telling you now, the world's ways are not God's ways. If you want to be chiefest, you're going to have to be the servant. Amen. I hammered that, and my people over there hammered it. I didn't hammer it, but I preached it a lot. Amen. You need to learn to serve. You need to learn to serve people, and you need to learn how to serve people. You need to do it out of love, not just because you hear it some rhyme or reason. You need to take time in your life to set up the time when you serve other people and learn how to serve other people. And you need to learn to love people when they're unlovely. There's Christian dynamics. It's not the way of the world. The way of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the way of the world. But God's way is not that way. You'll have to learn that God had to intervene, that you couldn't do it by yourself. God had to intervene to save your soul, or we'd all be headed towards a devil's hell. And God also wants to intervene in your Christian life, that His ways are always right. And if you'll apply His principle, it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. But if you'll apply His principles, If you'll lose your life, you'll gain it. You really will. And all of a sudden, your life will be worth living, not just existing. You'll find a life worth living. If you want to be chief, you'll find yourself a servant, learning how to serve people and to wait on others and make sure that they're taken care of. God's ways are different. And you're going to have to spend time in the Word finding God's way, meditating day and night as He leads His children along. And you'll find a life worth living.
Right. Amen.
A life worth living. Let's pray. Christian dynamics. God's ways are not the ways of man. His ways are far above us. And yet, praise be the Holy Spirit of God that allows us, through His wonderful grace, to know, to read, and by the dear Holy Spirit of God, overcome our cares and our worries, and to do it His way. And when we do it His way, all that sweet peace, that wonderful ability to walk with God becomes a reality. That wonderful ability to have that joined relationship day and night. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear brother's going to play something and sing something. Maybe you need to come and pray. Spend time at the altar today talking to the Lord about your life. Won't you come this morning? They began to sing and ask God to help you today. Father, I pray You'd bless now on this invitation. Lord, I know there's people here You're speaking to, and I ask You, Lord, that You'd have grace and mercy today. May they come and kneel and pray and seek Your face. Bless now, Holy Spirit of God, and we'll thank You for it. Open the door, Father, and we'll thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.